gentlemen, it is the Friday, January 31 edition of the NFL Spotlight Show, the final day here in January. And of course, we have a big week coming up next week with all the Super Bowl festivities down in New Orleans. And we're going to have a lot of coverage over here on NFL Spotlight and some exciting things ahead as well, which we will tease a little bit of here on the back end of the show. But for now, let's go around the NFL like we do every single day. We have stuff going on the field, off the field. Let me bring in my good friend Ben Allen. Ben, what is going on? How are you on this Friday?
What's going on, Ari? Yeah, let's go ahead and start with not so great news coming out of Baltimore. Ravens kicker Justin Tucker has been accused by six massage therapists of inappropriate sexual behavior at four high-end spas from 2012 through 2016. This is all according to the Baltimore Banner's reporting. Among the allegations, some therapists say Tucker exposed his genitals, leading to two of the spas banning his return. Tucker's attorneys have denied the allegations and called them impossible to prove, and that he has never been banned by either spa. Tucker himself took to social media to address the accusation, saying in part that he has never received any complaints from a massage therapist, and said that the article takes innocuous or ambiguous interactions and skews them so far out of proportion they are no longer recognizable, and it presents vague insinuations as fact. This is desperate tabloid fodder. A Ravens spokesperson says that they are taking the allegations seriously and will continue to monitor this situation, while the NFL says they are looking into the matter. As of this recording, no legal action or civil lawsuits on either side have been filed, making for what I assume is going to be a very interesting discussion from NFL brass about how they're going to investigate the claims. Right, Ari?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to get to over here. And first of all, the fact that it's happening here in the offseason does allow the NFL to buy some time and not have to hurry into anything over here. I mean, imagine if this happened in the regular season or in the postseason when the Ravens were still in, all hell breaks loose and this is a PR nightmare for the NFL. So it's happening here in the offseason where they could basically just let this play out and see where this goes before they have to make any decision. Now, let me just make this clear. The Ravens are going to decide whatever it is when it comes to Justin Tucker whenever they want to. But prior to this story coming out, there was a legit discussion in the NFL about if they're going to move on from Justin Tucker this offseason after the struggles that he had this year and the fact that his contract has no more guaranteed money. So does this affect anything with that? We will see and we'll find out. But like the Ravens said, we are now aware of the situation and we're going to continue to monitor it. Now, the NFL, in their statement, Ben, which you didn't mention, they wanted to make it very clear in their statement that we first became aware of the allegations from the reporter investigating this story as they were not previously sure of the NFL. The reason the NFL did that is because, if you recall, the NFL once had a very, very big issue with the Ravens and a different player in Ray Rice, where there was a big discussion about when did the NFL know about everything that happened with him and his then fiance. If you remember, that was always 10, 12, 15 years ago, whatever it is by now. But that was a very, very big story. And this one over here in particular, there is a very, very big question right now around the NFL about when did the Ravens know about this and when did the NFL know about this? Because I'm sure people have seen there are a bunch of tweets out there from years ago that have been accusing Justin Tucker about all of this. And people have been asking, like, if people knew about it back then, when did the team know about this? And was the NFL ever made aware of it from anybody involved in all of this? So that is a very big question that has to be answered over here. And make no mistake about it, the NFL made sure to include that into their statement to make it clear we did not know about this until right now. So do not think that we knew anything about this. So this is now an ongoing situation. We're going to see where it goes. Like you said, Ben, there is no charges of your criminal, civil, or anything to that point right now. But Justin Tucker, 35 years old, has been one of the greatest kickers in NFL history. Obviously had a very, very bad year over here this past season. But we were eventually going to have here in the offseason, once it kicks off, a cut candidates types of list that we put together every year. He would have been on that list simply because of the year he just had, the amount of money he's going to make, and the fact that it's all non-guaranteed. Add all this on top of it. Again, nobody knows any of the real facts right now. For now, it's all allegations. But just adding this on top of everything does make his future in Baltimore even more murky of here. So if you want to read more of the details, it's all out there. You can read about it. I know Ben briefly spoke about it. The allegations are very, very disturbing. It is from over 8 years ago, and we'll see what ends up happening over here. But that is basically where the story is. And the fact that it's happening over here at the start of the offseason does allow everyone to buy some time. And let's see where the facts take us when it comes to this story.
Yeah, and we'll definitely make sure as we learn more, we'll fill you guys in here on NFL Spotlight with all the information that's going around with Justin Tucker. All right, moving on. Sometimes out for the season is just a phrase and that gets tossed around. But for the most part, we don't actually see those guys come back during the season unless it's Jonathan Allen. Shout out to friend of the show. Well, technically, the season is over. We're in the playoffs now. And Eagles are going to be getting a pass rusher back, it looks like. And that's Brandon Graham. He was limited in practice on Thursday, which is insane to think about because this man tore his left triceps in week 12. But it does seem like there's actually a real chance that he could be out there for the Super Bowl. Ari, do you anticipate that he actually could have a sizable role during the game?
Well, first of all, Ben, if I would have told you a few weeks ago that the NFC team in the Super Bowl will have a defensive end coming off IR and making a return, who would you have picked for that, Ben?
It would have been Aiden Hutchinson.
There you go, right? We all would have said Aiden Hutchinson, but here we are. No, it's not Aiden Hutchinson. It is Brandon Graham with the Philadelphia Eagles. Like you said, torn triceps. He said before the season, this is going to be my final year in the NFL. I've played 15 years all with Philadelphia. This is it for me. And of course, he suffers that injury middle of the year. And as soon as it happened, he announced himself in the locker room after that game on Sunday night, I'm done for the year. We'll talk about my future when the season is over, but it's an unfortunate end to an amazing career. But here he is now. He was designated to return from IR on Thursday. That basically allows him to return to the practice field. On Thursday, he was a limited participant out there, and he did tell reporters he's feeling good and he thinks he should be able to go. Now, it does not mean for sure he will go. Sometimes, for what it's worth, Ben, teams do designate players to return from IR and they don't really activate him. It's just mind games for the other team to think about. So we obviously won't know officially if he will actually play in this game until basically Friday when the final injury report comes out next week. And if they do activate him off IR, but it is a very, very good sign that he was able to make it back to the practice field. And the fact that he was straight up with reporters and said, I feel good, I expect to be good, and I should be out there. We all know what Brandon Graham has meant to Philadelphia, not just as a player, but also just the vocal leader that he is and his trash talk on the field. He is somebody who is very, very valuable there in Philadelphia. We know what he did in the first Super Bowl that they won over Tom Brady. He had the game-clinching strip sack of Tom Brady in that game. So he is a very, very important player for that team on and off the field, and they expect him to be on the field for the Super Bowl versus the Chiefs. But we're also going to continue to monitor this one over here leading into next week when there are going to be more practices over there and whether he becomes a full participant or not and whether, of course, they do officially designate him to return. The Chiefs, by the way, they also designated Sky Moore to return from IR. There's been a lot of rumors out there if they'll do the same with Rashee Rice. I don't think they will, but if they want to play those games, they could.
All right, Ari, I wanted to hit on one more story here that we haven't really been able to cover the last few days, but I think it's pretty crucial for what we are going to see from the AFC North in 2025. And that is that the owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Art Rooney II, has come out and said that they are unsurprisingly keeping Mike Tomlin for 2025. And he thinks that ultimately all the issues that they have, which he admitted there are some, they don't have to do with Mike Tomlin. So do you think he's right?
I mean, it's such a loaded question here, and I've seen a bunch of former players, whether they are on the Steelers or not on the Steelers, they keep on saying sometimes, even if you're a great coach, the message eventually just gets stale. I mean, right, there's no better example of this than Andy Reid in Philadelphia. When he was there, great coach, many NFC championship appearances, a Super Bowl appearance, they were always pretty good, but eventually it was time to move on, and he ended up in Kansas City, and all was good, but his messaging in Philadelphia was over. And some people have wondered if that's the case with Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh, who has been there for now, what is it, 17, 18 years, winning record every single year. But in Pittsburgh, it's not like, I don't know, Detroit or a different city where it's like, oh, we made the playoffs. Oh, great. They expect playoff wins and Super Bowl appearances, and they've not had a playoff win in now 6 playoff appearances, and it's a bit of a problem over here for that city and the organization. But last year was the year where I would say was the, the pivotal point where they could have done something with Mike Tomlin, because he had 1 year left on his contract last year, and there were a lot of rumors about letting him play out that final year, and then they'll decide after the fact. Eventually, we get to like June or July, they give him that 3-year extension. So he's now locked in for an additional 3 more years now with that contract now starting here this year. So there was no point of moving on from Mike Tomlin unless they really would have considered trading him, which Mike Tomlin's agent, Cedric Saunders, was very smart. He put a no trade clause in there. He's like, no, I'm not going to let you guys trade him. So this is a scenario here where he is going to be in Pittsburgh no matter what. And listen, the fact that they were able to make it to the playoffs this year, considering the AFC and the AFC North, it's impressive. But the way the year ended, obviously, with those 5-6 straight losses, whatever it was, obviously was very disappointing. And now they're going to have a bit of a reset over here this offseason because their top two quarterbacks, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, both are scheduled to be free agents. I would imagine one of them are back. I'm not sure which one that is. Their top running back, Najee Harris, is a free agent. TJ Watt only has 1 year left on his deal. There's been a lot of talk about, will he sign an extension with them? So there are a lot of moving parts right now in Pittsburgh going into this offseason. And I think Mike Tomlin realizes that this is a situation where at times the defense is playing really well. At times the offense is playing really well, but we can't get both sides to be playing really, really well at the same time going into the end of December and into January. And that's really been where it ends up biting them at the end of each and every single season. So what are they going to do when it comes to the offense and the quarterback? And does Mike Tomlin do anything significant? Like, I don't know, is it just bringing back one of the quarterbacks? Is it trying Aaron Rodgers, which I don't think is on the table for them? What do they do when it comes to this situation? Do they try a Kirk Cousins and try to pair him up with an Arthur Smith? There are a lot of questions over here about what they're going to do this offseason, but they realize they need to become more dynamic on offense, and they need that defense to definitely hold up as they get close to the end of the year. Because at the start of the year, they play pretty well. As the year winds down, we're seeing tackling miscues and a lot of disappointing things that you would not have seen out of the Pittsburgh Steelers years ago.
Do you anticipate that there could be hot seat talk during the season with him if they were to get off to a slow start?
I don't think the Steelers have ever moved on from a head coach in season. It's not the way they look at things. And we kind of spoke about this with the Giants, where for years they were viewed as a first-class organization, the model organization, the way the Giants have had the last decade go, where they've been having coaches in, coaches out with, you know, McAdoo and Shermer and Judge and all that. That's part of the reason why they even held on to Daboll and Shane this year, because they were just sick and tired of looking like the Jets or looking like the Jaguars, where they're moving on from a bunch of coaches. So the Steelers are looked at as a model organization. They are first class. They do things the right way. They are not the type of team who's going to move on from a head coach in season. If anything, they're going to wait till after the season. They're going to have all those discussions. And like we've learned with them, they are very, very patient. They've only had three coaches in many, many decades, of course, with Chuck Noll, Bill Cowher, and Mike Tomlin. So they know they have a really good coach in Mike Tomlin. The question just becomes, is the messaging becoming too stale over there? Because if Mike Tomlin ends up in a different building, that team immediately becomes a winner. I think you would agree with that, Ben. I would agree with that. I think most people listening to this would agree with that. The question is, in Pittsburgh, where it's been there for the last 17, 18 years, is it getting to a point where having the same person in front of the team every single time saying the same thing, it's just not resonating with everybody? And is that the issue in Pittsburgh? So clearly, R. Rooney disagrees and does not think it is. But as of right now, this next year is going to be a pivotal one for them, where once again, he's going to have a winning year and make the playoffs. But at that point, it's not just about making the playoffs, it's about winning playoff games, which, of course, we'll start to be here in the offseason with all the big decisions they're going to have to make. All right, that would do it here for our Friday, January 31 edition here of the NFL Spotlight Show. We will be back here on Monday as we get ready for Super Bowl week in New Orleans, all the festivities, the media night, all the players who will be there from the teams in the Super Bowl, teams not in the Super Bowl. A lot of different people will be there, and we're going to have a lot of coverage of that here on NFL Spotlight. One more thing over here we're going to announce as well right now. Usually every single Tuesday we have a special Spotlight guest. We're not going to have one here for Super Bowl week on Tuesday. Instead, if people follow me on Twitter, on X, you know how much I love the NFL awards, MVP, Offensive Rookie of the Year, Defensive Rookie of the Year, Player of the Year, whatever it is, Coach of the Year, Comeback Player of the Year. We're going to do our own award show over here on Tuesday, and we're going to add some unique awards as well that we created. It's something that I want to do annually over here on the show, and for the first time, it will be done on Tuesday. We will have some other guests throughout the week from Super Bowl Media Row as well. But no official Spotlight guest here coming up next week. Some other fun stuff for Super Bowl week instead. All right, so we will see everyone here on Monday morning.